I'll be singing My Redeemer Lives. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who told the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can have
Amen. What the church say? The ministering of the hands of those who think that they know that the Redeemer liveth. Raise your hands.
Amen.
Raise those hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Redeemer lives in our hearts, and he does wonderful things for our lives, and he has redeemed us from the pit of hell. He has redeemed us from the penalty of sin, and he has redeemed us for eternal life. What do you say? Amen. I noticed that there are a lot of meetings lined up for today. And let me just set up a little sequence here. For the elders, we're gonna have just 5 minutes meeting with the Brief family, just in the discovery room, 5 minutes, nothing more than that, and then we can go. And then after that, I'll meet with the Bible instructors, and I'll have some things to share with them, and then I'll move on, because I want to be, I cannot be in all places at the same time. Later on, I have to go to North Stanford for their board meeting at 5:30. So I have to expedite matters here so that we can have all things done, all things well for the Lord, who is always bright and beautiful. Today, I want to stimulate, motivate, and activate our spiritual thoughts and our spiritual life. If it was in a point of dormancy, I want you to get so vibrant today and so hopeful today because of what God would have done for us, and we need to respond in a vibrant way. So the topic today that I want to use to bring about that awareness, that awakening, is what is your response? What is your response? God has demonstrated his love to us. What is your response? A king has a servant who served him for 10 years. And that king, that servant made a mistake, and the king decided that he's going to punish the servant by turning his dog on him. When he was called to question, the servant said, "King, give me 10 days with your dog. And after that, you can do what you will." So the king agreed. And the servant fed the dog for 10 days. Special attention. 10 days. And after that, the king said, "The 10 days up. Your punishment is now. I'm going to turn you over. I'm going to put you in that dog's pen. I'm going to turn the dog over to you to punish you." And the king's intention was that the dog would ravish the servant to death. When the king placed the dog and the servant, for the dog to ravish that servant, all the dog did was just lick on the servant. Just keep licking the servant. with its tongue, licking the servant with its tongue. The king stood up and watched what's happening, and he said, how is it that this be? How can this be? The servant said to him, I served you for 10 years and you did not show no appreciation. But I fed the dog for 10 days and this is his appreciation for my attention to him. What is your response to the love of God? Let us pray. Father God, as we navigate this course of action and evaluate ourselves and understand our relationship with you and how we are relating to you, Lord, please motivate us today to take another step forward in our spiritual growth, so that we can show more tangible appreciation to you and value what you would have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 On college campuses, especially co-educational campuses, there's always a constant mating season. In the season of spring, you will see birds mating. But how does that come about? You'll see the male bird fly and expose the color or that pretty color of its feathers under its wing, and that in his in what we call the intuitiveness, or the instinctiveness rather, the female bird would respond to that. And they become a mating team. They would go and build nests, and they would lay eggs, and they would work together. One, when one goes to get feed, the other stays in the egg, and the other go and get feed, and the other stay in the egg, and they rotate their duties and responsibilities just like that, all because somebody responded to somebody. On college campuses, the boys would go and help the ladies to carry their bags. And some would help walk with them for distance just to accompany them. Doing that over and over, it builds what is called a caring relationship. So the lady responds, and before you know it, they become mating team, and they become courtship, and then it moves on into marriage, and then becomes a family. All because somebody responded to somebody. There is a wrong way, an illegitimate response to God's favor. There is an illegitimate way to respond to God's favor. These are some of them. When God blesses you with a car, a new job, a house, some people, what they do, these are some of the things they do. They go and have a drink with their friends. Am I right or am I right? They go out and have a nice drink. Some go to party themselves and dance their troubles away. So some of them treat themselves to food. They go to the restaurant and get their friend and let's celebrate. I just got a house. I have just graduated with my master's degree. I am now coming, make a step out of the road of poverty. I am now moving to success. Let's celebrate. And they eat. Some buy and wear expensive jewelries. As a means of responding to what God would have done to them. And I would say that these are not what God expects of his people. There should be a difference between God's children and those who are of Satan's children. Let me put it the other way around. Let me put it up for you. Put it a different way. There should be a difference between those who met Christ from those who have not met him. There should be a difference with those who are in the church from those who are out there in the world who do not know the love of Christ. There should be a difference. So the difference should be in the way we respond to God's love. We should not be drinking and reveling. We should not be partying. We should not be indulging in food. We should not be getting into jewelry wearing. We should not be walking the street as if to say we are on our own. We must remember the love of God. How do you respond to that? So what is your response to the love, to this level of the love of God and his favor? What is your response? Let's read this text. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 8. And it says, for when we were yet without strength. Get it now, brethren? For when we were yet without what? Strength. In due time, Christ did what? Died for who? The ungodly, the same one that I refer to as Satan's children. Those are ungodly. He died for who? The ungodly. So the ungodly have a chance to respond to God's love. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his what? His what, church? His love towards us. That while we were yet sinners. Come on with me now, church. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. What is that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were out there reveling and cursing, being malicious, biting, slanderous, have nothing about godliness in us. He took the initiative to die so that we do not have to be punished as a result of sin. Thought you would say amen. God took the initiative, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet in the pit of sin, in the mire, in our own degraded self. Christ died for us. Do you really understand this? Do you really understand? So there are some people who responded to God's love and favor. Here are some examples of people who responded to God's love and favor and his grace. One of them is Noah. Noah offers sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise after he has been, after he has seen the favor of God's grace towards his family. The Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When Noah saw that, and Noah went forth and his son, and Genesis chapter 8 and verse 18 to 21, and Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his son wife and his son's wife with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. And Noah built a what? Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fall, and offered burnt offering on the altar. That's a positive response to God's love and his grace. What is that telling us today? That when God bless us, when God pour his mercies and his grace upon us, we need to return thanks in a sacrificial way. The children of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh built an altar to testify that God led them across Jordan. According to Joshua 22 and verse 9 through 10, it says, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, and go unto the country of Gilgad, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, and according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the border of Jordan, that are in the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And I look at the word to see to. Why? Because when their generation would have passed by, the succeeding generation, they would have seen that there's an altar of praise. An altar of praise was erected by these three tribes. What is your response to God's love? God brought them across Jordan and they showed thanksgiving and praise so that the succeeding generation can see that God did something for them. What do you do for your children to demonstrate that God did something for you someday in your life? What do you have to show your children? Also, a woman at the well called the city to meet Jesus and shared him when Her deep desire for belonging and love were satisfied. The story is told of Jesus walking through Samaria and went to the well called Jacob's Well. There he saw a woman catching water for her animal, and she went up and picked a conversation with the woman. And the woman said, "But I'm a Samaritan woman. What dealing do you have as a Jew with me?" And Jesus said unto her, "If you know who's speaking to you, would just give him water to drink." Verse 12. John chapter 4, turn with me to John chapter 4 and verse 12 through 19. Then the woman said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and to drink thereof, himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well. Come on, our church, a well of water springing up into eternal life. Jesus did not want to just satisfy her at that point. Jesus made sure he gave her the tool for eternal satisfaction. Her satisfaction continues from then onward into eternity. What is your response to the love of God? Here, this woman said, the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She still was in the realms of the natural, but Jesus wanted to take her from the natural to the supernatural and to eternity. Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither. Do not keep this to yourself." What is your response, church? Do not keep this to yourself. And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus looked at her tenderly, compassionately, and said, "Thou hast well said. You have no husband. You have spoken the truth. You have no husband. For you have five husbands. And he whom thou now sleepest with," in other words, who you now call husband, "is not your husband." And the woman said unto her, Sir, "I perceive that you are a prophet." Jesus continued the conversation with her, "But the hour cometh, and now is, brethren at Brook Lawn, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is going through Brook Lawn and seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, how will you respond to that? No half-heartedness, full commitment. Jesus is seeking full commitment, no half-hearted worshipers. "But the hour cometh, and now is, And the true worshiper should worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Your response to God's love is to what? It's to what, church? It's to worship him. And how do you do that? In spirit and in truth. I could develop this a little further, but in interest of time, let's move on. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speakest unto thee am he. And you know the expression, am he. I could develop that too. There's some eternal qualities in the expression, am he. I am the resurrection and the life. Go and tell them, Moses, that I am that sent you. There is an eternal element in I am. He that speaketh to you, I am. How do you respond to that? And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman left her water pot. She was now responding. Brethren, the woman now saw who Jesus was. She recognized who Jesus is. And so she decided now that she is going to respond. And her mode of responsibility was to go out and gather all the men whom she had encountered with in the city. The woman, the Bible said, the woman left her water pot and went away in the city and said to the man, come see a man, a different man. Come on now, church. Come see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? In other words, brethren, the woman is saying, I have been with you all men, and none of you were able to satisfy me. I have now found a man that is able to satisfy me, not just now, but for eternity. Amen. How do you respond to God, to the love of God, his mercy and his grace? Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He reconciled us to his Father. Here is another interesting woman. Mary Magdalene used expensive ointment and used her hair to dry Jesus' feet and respond to his in respond to his forgiveness of her sin and a mental freedom. Seven demons were cast out of her. Mark recorded one way, John recorded another way, but hear what it says. And Luke said, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city, village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirit. Of what, church? Evil spirit. That's what Luke recorded. Of evil spirit and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom were seven devils cast. Seven devils. Seven demons. The demons of self-importance. The demons of pride. The demons of hopelessness. The demons of discontentment. The demons of gossip. The demons of fear. The demons of mistrust and doubt. Seven demons. John 12, 1 to 3, Mary found Jesus again. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. That's, turn with me to John 12, 1 to 3. I'm telling you how people responded, the legitimate spiritual way that people responded to God's love. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Mary and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary, the same Mary Magdalene, then Mary poured off ointment of spikard. Very costly ointment, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with odor of ointment. Luke 7:44-48, Jesus assured her of her forgiveness, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered unto thine house, and thou gavest me no water from my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair on her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but the woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Verse 47 is the key. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. For she loved what, church?
Much.
She loved what, church?
Much.
But to whom little is forgiven, the same loved little. Did you get it? If you feel that you were forgiven little, that's how you're going to respond to God. But if you think that you are forgiven big, you're going to respond with God with bigness. How do you respond to that? What is your response to God's love, my friends? Mary was appreciative of the fact that Jesus gave her that, her mental faculties, and allow her to be a woman again. And so Mary did not spare washing his feet with her tears. Mary did not spare buying expensive ointment, because Jesus, what Jesus had done for her, that's what's her response. What is your response? What God has done for you today. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Last section, and I close. How will you respond to God's favor going forward? Now you have heard this. You have seen that the illegitimate way of praising God and celebrating when God gives you something, the legitimate way, going out and reveling and dancing and partying and wearing jewelry and drinking and all of those things, that's illegitimate. God doesn't want that. What God wants is an altar of sacrifice, a sacrifice of self. What God wants is for you, when you have met and have received his goodness, you don't keep it to yourself. You share it like the woman at the well. Like Mary Magdalene, she did not be stingy in offering her praise to God. It was total. She went all out and bought an expensive perfume with her tears and with her hair. She honored Jesus Christ, who forgave her. What will you do? What is your response? Going forward, what is your response? Is it to buy precious jewels? It is. By reveling and drunkenness? Is it by eating and partying? Or is it spending time in much prayer and thanksgiving? It takes surrendering, my friends. Total surrender. Self-surrender. Self-setting aside. If any man should come after me, let him deny himself first. Take up my cross and follow me. Total surrender. Sister White puts it this way. In giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that the world, all that would separate us from him. Hence, the Savior says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up. I want to read it again. Whatever, brethren, my friends, whatever draw away the heart from God must be given up. I don't think you get it yet. Whatever causes your spiritual life to take a dip, give it up. Because that's not the best response to God's love. God gives you the freedom, the luxuries of life, and you just take it and gone into your own spiritual delight and gone into your spiritual numbness. And you every day you gaze on God's blessing. Every day you gaze on God's blessing. And your spiritual life is taking a dip. Is that right? Can't be. Continue what Sister Wright says. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is the golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation, reputation and worldly honor are worshipped by other class. The life of selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is the idol of others. But these selfish bonds must be broken. These selfish and slavish bonds must be broken. We cannot be half the Lord's and half the world's. We are not God's children unless we are such entirely. And this is taken from the popular book, Steps to Christ, page 44. Under the caption, the topic, consecration. Very serious times we are living in, brethren. And if ever a time you should examine your lives and examine what the Lord would have done for you and examine how you are responding, it's now. Remember, brethren, God gives us a gift of his son. While we were steeped in our sin, Christ died for us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will die, will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How will you respond to his love? Think about it. How will you respond to God's love? Paul gave us a formula as to how we can do it. Hear this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Your what? Your what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Did you get it? Did you get it, brother? What is your reasonable service? What is our reasonable service to God? To present our bodies. What is our reasonable service, brethren? To present our bodies as what? Not dead sacrifice, but what? Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. Don't let Satan fool you. When you give your body over to God, it belongs to God. It is not Satan's. Take a look at the bodies that belong to Satan. Examine those bodies. They are not holy. They don't do holy things. But we who would have given our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, we dress differently. We appear differently. We are walking as though we have Christ in us. What do you say? Then Paul said, as we are surrendering our bodies to Christ, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Present your bodies Be transformed. Do not be conformed. Don't take on the worldliness. Don't take on the things that you see the world doing. You should be separated. And anything that separates you from God, you should drop it. It's an idol. Whether it's the way you dress, whether the way you eat, or the way you have pleasure, if it is separating you from God, drop it. In closing, these are suggested ways to respond to God. Tell someone about God when you see God's love. Yeah? Testify about what God has done for you. Secondly, surrender yourselves totally. You know, when God humbles me, he has a way of humbling me. And I'm telling you, brethren, the only response I have when God does something good for me is to thank you, Jesus, and I do more and I get closer to him. Surrender ourselves to God. Remember your means and your times. What you have is not yours. Your time is not yours. Sorry, your time is not yours. Give your time to the Lord. Give your means to the Lord. Be generous in response to God's love. Like Mary Magdalene, she expends herself for Jesus Christ. Care for your spiritual life and your physical life. Your physical body belongs to God. Care for your body. Look out for your spiritual life. Grow into what God wants you to grow into so you can be better men and women for Jesus Christ. I'm closing now. Do we have anybody down there would like to respond to Jesus' love in your life? You have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. You have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You have not yet been baptized. And you're saying, I have heard this message, and I want to make my response to Christ. Whether you're young or you're old, whoever you are, you're saying, God, for all that you've done for me, you wake me up this morning, you give me food, you take me on my way journey, a safe journey. You have not yet been baptized. And you're saying, when I examine all of this, God has done something for me. But Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm having some struggles. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Bow your heads with me, church. Bow your heads with me, church. You have not yet been baptized. You're saying, I want to respond to the love of God for all that he has done for me. He gave me good parents. He gave me food. He gave me good companionship. He gave me everything. And I want to say thank you, God, by giving myself to you. You're down there. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Okay. Put your hands down. My next call is that you're here and God has really blessed you. And you're saying, I have been revived. I have a second thinking of how I'm responding to God. I don't think I'm responding to God the way I should respond to him, equivalent to his blessing and his grace and his mercy towards me. I don't think so. You're here. Whether you're baptized, yes or no. Stand with me. You're saying that I want to make a better response to all the grace and the favor of God. I want to make a better response. And your commitment and standing is saying, oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messengers of rest. I hate the sin that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Is that your pledge and desire, brethren? Are you going to tear down all the idol, anything that separates you between God and yourself, so you can have spiritual growth, strong spiritual growth in this new year? Is that your desire? Let us sing this song as the closing song. Just after I pray, let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your church and the response that the church have made today. I pray, Father God, for this church, the brethren who come from different places, visitors who came from different places who have heard the message today. I pray, God, ride into their heart and bring about a resolution. The things that have separated them from you, God, give them the overcoming strength and power to overcome it so that they can totally surrender themselves to you. Father God, we are standing, reconsecrating ourselves, recommitting ourselves that we belong to you and you belong to us. Bless us, sanctify us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the closing song. 315. Sing this song as though you mean it. It has a strong meaning in it. Come on now.
For a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly friend. A light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that make thee mourn and drove thee from my breast.
What peaceful hours I once enjoyed.
How sweet their memories still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill.
The dearest idol I have known,
whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee.
Let this song resonate in your heart as you go through the week. That when the adversary comes at you, and when you would have seen the blessing of the Lord, you can say, return, O holy dove, return. For I want to worship only thee. Lord bless you.
We thank you for the message that you have given us today. Father, we pray that we will respond with a grateful and a thankful heart. And as we go this week, we will reach out to others and tell others about it. Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessings we pray, as from thy worship we go our ways. Guide in life's conflicts all through the day, save in thy kingdom, thine be the praise.
And ask the Lord to help us to respond positively.